4 CBA Mobile.
Can you run over anybody with that hot blue Mustang? KN4 VWA.
No.
So how did your situation with your sandpaper go, Bubba?
If I got the right size for the sander, it went pretty good. We're just putting some polyurethane on the deck. It's treated lumber, but he said it would be good to just, you know, lightly sand it and then put some polyurethane on it, and so that's what we're doing. And it's looking good. It's gonna be a job. And then our little battery operated sander, the battery bit the dust and it's brand new, so kind of ticked about that. But that's something that Mona picked out on the internet. So.
So that's a back and forth, a kind of like a airfile sander, right? Goes back and forth.
No, the one she ordered it just vibrates, you know, real fast, and it has a point on one end, and it's a kind of a triangular shape, and the pad just sticks on there, and it stays on there. I tell you, it's amazing. And it worked real good. I mean, till the battery decided to give out. But you know, we need something like that for, you know, small places. And, because that big belt sander, it's 3 inches wide, and it uses a 21-inch belt that you put on it, and you know, it just can't get into places that little one can get into.
At least you're trying to use a belt, because for large open spaces, you can't beat a belt sander.
And I started on the top rails, because they're facing straight up at the sun, and they're getting the worst of the weather, you know, the rain, and we wanted to do those first, so. We've got the main deck done, the top rails, but now we're starting on the stairs, the ones that go down the stairs to the landing and so on and so forth. So it's going to be a work in progress. And as we sand, we put on the stain, so... so we don't have to worry about it, you know, raining and it getting wet and that kind of thing.
Like a lot of work, but a lot of satisfaction when you get done, so. Well, listen, W4DJW and I have tentative plans to get together late Saturday afternoon and see if we can assemble some aero things. Would you like to come up and see what we got going?
I've got a tennis tournament at 1:00 in Anderson, so I don't know what time I'll be back.
Hoping Dave and I can start at about 5:00 and finish up at about 6:30, maybe 7, and go from there.
Yeah, I'd like to do that, and I'll bring up some of the stuff that I've got and let y'all look at it and see what you think. But anywho, it just depends on, you know, the tournament, how long it takes, you know, whether or not we have to play, you know, tiebreaker and that kind of thing. It just it's not a time thing. It's, you know, it's you play by the score. So you know, if it takes till 9 o'clock that night, then that's what it takes. So anyway,
all right, well, I'll just try to give you a call sometime Saturday. You say you start at 1?
Well, the doubles game starts at 1. We're going to be down there at 11 for the singles. Guy on our team is playing the singles guy on the other team. And then the doubles starts at 1 o'clock, which is what I'll be doing.
I'll just try to either text you or call you before noon.
Text. I'll have my phone on vibrate because it's just a courtesy thing. And but I'll keep an eye on it.
It'll work out good. All right. Well, let's head on back to the Hun Hacienda. I'm headed back to the house to end my week.
I'm headed to the tennis court. No surprise there.
You're not. You're just like Tom. N0TR. He's always headed for Aldi or Costco, and you're always headed for tennis.
Watch it, sucker.
The radio has ears. They're everywhere.
There you are.
You resemble that remark?
Yeah, I resemble that. Oh, we just come in. We've been out doing yard work, mowing grass, et cetera, et cetera. Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon, Tom. Give us the weather report there.
Out in the sun. Got to realize, like Steve, I got a weather station out there. 80 degrees, 32% humidity, a west wind from 4 to 14 miles an hour that is going back and forth to the northeast a little bit. And it's 2984 on the barometer, which I don't think will make any difference to your tennis ball. And it is 2:53 and 23 seconds.
This ball doesn't care a whole lot about barometric pressure. Let's see, so what's the what's the pilot thing? Clear ceiling, visibility unlimited. Is that how you put it?
Well, you just say I have Tango, or I have Zulu, or I have Alpha, and that means you listen to the automatic reporting system that they got for Greenville that just goes over and over and over and over. And I can't remember the frequency unless I turn my radio to it. And it's not Apers, but it's kind of like that. Not really. But, yeah, you weren't too far off. Go ahead, Steve.
The two of you to stop talking so there won't be so much doggone wind so I can go out and fly.
Is he out there?
I think he's talking about hot air.
That too.
I resemble that too. And it's 1850, 5 Zulu right now, if that makes any difference to the tennis court. Oh, I'm hot. I've been out there mowing, and I have a little problem with my car, I think, and I'm thinking it might be a condenser intermittent. We went down to Publix yesterday, Dave. You might enlighten me on this, because you're the mechanic. And it just suddenly stopped blowing cold air. And then as we started home, I think it pinwheeled that fan and got it started. And the air conditioner's running right ever since. How say you?
Well, the condenser fan is mainly needed when the car is sitting still. I imagine it helps a little bit, but you know, as long as the car's moving, you're gonna have air moving through the condenser. And but your high side will just shoot way up if the fan's not working, and it'll get so high that it'll actually blow the freon. There's a valve on the compressor, and it'll blow some freon out of the compressor to keep from, you know, blowing up the compressor or a line or whatever, a hose. So it's interesting system, but if the fan motor, you know, if you just spin it a little bit, sometimes they'll start up. Just get your fingers out of the way.
That's a cockeyed thing. I just now looked at it. But it's been working right ever since, but I don't want to leave it like that. Never had any problems in 10 years. None. Zero. So I'm not complaining. But yes, I had one of those do that in a Toyota Tercel, and it fooled me for a little while. And it had a little hex nut or bolt, it looked like, and in the center of it was something that took the pressure, and then it would blow, and it would evacuate all of the R12 out of it at the time. And it took me a while because that pancake motor would run if it pinwheeled a little bit in the wind, but you come up to a stoplight, you'd blow that fuse. They called it a fuse. Never heard of such a thing. Go ahead, Steve.
Switch on the high side of the compressor. Condenser freon detector switch on the condenser. What is the upright thing over there, Dave? That sometimes if the freon is a little low, you can go over, bypass it, and kick the compressor back on. There's all kinds of different stuff. There's just more sensors in these things nowadays. It's not like back in the good old days. Go buy a can of freon, R12, throw it in there, and see what it does. How many miles on that thing?
Zero TR. Well, she's got 70,000 miles on it, Steve. Dave, I would have thought nowadays they just had more or less a high pressure cutout switch, and with the microprocessors and that, just actually shut the compressor down by, you know, like interrupting the power lead with a relay to the compressor. But I don't know that if that's true, and especially in a 2011 Toyota Avalon, SN0TR.
KB4CBA. Well, let's see, 2011, it may have a module in it too, instead of a relay, but it does have all the sensors Steve was talking about, plus he was talking about the low pressure switch. There's a low pressure switch, and that protects the compressor in case the freon drops below a certain level. That switch will cut the power to the compressor to keep it from running, so you don't have to buy a new compressor. But I have had cars come in to the dealership It's not cooling, and you stick up the monitor in the fan, the center vent, one of the center vents, and you put the fan speed on too, and it should pull, just sitting there idling, it should blow 43 degrees Fahrenheit, and this one didn't, so come to find out it was just overcharged. I evacuated the entire system and then recharged it with the correct amount of Freon, and it cooled to 43 degrees, and so there you go. So it can be a ton of different things.
Well, that was a smart move on your case there, Dave. I've seen them overcharged where the belts would burn, because guys would do their own, you know. And the compressor would stall, and then it'd start squealing, and the belts would start smoking. But, no, I've never done that. And I'm sure they'd want to shut her down on low pressure, because the Freon has some oil in it. And if you didn't have the oil circulating in the system, too, well, you could take out a compressor, like you say. Well, I didn't know it pulled clear down to 43. I would have guessed more like 55 or so. So I learned something. You always do here. Go ahead, Steve.
I tell you what. When they first started requiring people to pull the Freon out of systems, I used to know this retired one-star, Air Force one-star, and he used to do all of his own air conditioning work, and he was licensed to go buy Freon and everything, but he said he was just not going to go pay no $600 for no vacuum pump to pull Freon out. So what he did was he thought about it, and he went over to a junkyard, and he found a refrigerator that had a good compressor in it, and all he did was reverse the compressor, put on a couple of Schrader valves on the compressor lines, and lo and behold, he had him a vacuum pump.
Done before. Well, they, nowadays, Dave, they can pull those things down in a matter of a few minutes compared to when we used to do it. It would take quite a little while.
They have the machines we used. It would take 10, probably about 10 minutes or so. And it would pull it down to about negative 29. You didn't have to pull a vacuum on it unless you opened the system up. The machine that pulled the Freon out was different from the vacuum pump because the machine recycled the Freon. It would put it in a tank, and then when you got ready to charge the car, it would use the same Freon that was in the tank to shoot back in the car. So. And of course, the tank was, 30 gallons, so it had a lot of Freon in it. So, anyway, so it was an expensive machine. I have no idea what it cost, but it would be expensive to have something to recycle Freon.
Hey, Dave. What that one star did was he put the Schrader valve. You know, a lot of these systems have a line filter, and he took the line filter from I believe it was a Cadillac. At least that's what I'm remembering. But he took the line filter from a Cadillac, and as it brought the Freon into that vacuum pump, I mean, he vacuumed everything out. It would take it and put it over into a storage tank after it went through one of those filters. And when he did that, He had clean freon to go back into the system right from the tank.
Yeah, that's what it does. It filters it. So if there's any, any kind of contaminants in there, it's not going to put it back in your car. And, but anyway, well, this is just riveting conversation, but I'm going to have to jump out of here. I'm sitting here at the sports club. I'm going to get warm. I'm playing at 3:30, so I'll get it warmed up, and then I'll be ready to beat this guy.
Good luck, bud. 73s. 84BWA. Tom, you still there?
Good luck, Dave. Talk to you later, and thanks for the info. Just send it on TR. Yeah, I'm still hosting.
Discuss an evacuation system like I described.
Oh, I just go buy one down Harbor Freight. They're not that much anymore, and they're much quicker than the old days. And by the way, Steve, I had to go to Kansas City and take 3 different tests, and I have an HVAC license, but I don't claim to be a good one.
So what did you get licensed in? Residential, commercial, appliance?
I worked on systems on a printing plant on the roofs that, they had 230 pounds of freon in them or so, and there was multiple units, and I worked on hospital air conditioning units. But for a while, I just had up to 5 ton, but that's a commercial license that I got, and it's for life. But I mostly did the electrical control stuff and not too much of the gas stuff, but you had to know that to pass those tests.
Yep. Well, I tell you what, like these grocery stores, they don't allow them to just come in there and just shoot it full of freon, let it run for 3 or 4 months, and then go shoot some more in anymore. They leak test them and do all this and that and the other. Yeah, they don't allow that stuff now.
At a wheel plant, once they shut down, and I'd worked there 4 years after I worked at that other job, 32. And some guy there that was before me, had turned him in for exactly that because he was disgruntled when they fired him. And it was very justifiable to fire him. I knew him. He was a habitual liar. Just no good, period. And they had fired him. He turned him in. And I'm trying to think of the people that come out. The government, anyways, they raked him over the coals. And there at the hospital, you had to account for every bit you took in and every bit you took out. And they were very careful about that because it was an extreme fine. But not too many years before that, I seen guys blowing out condensers with R22 and stuff like that because it was so cheap. And then the price skyrocketed when they stopped making R12 and R22. And they went to this 410 and different blends.
Won't cast my opinion on that here. Some of that's just I still got a can of R12. I think it's a 20 pounder, and I've still got a 35 of R22.
I sold a practically a full can of R22 to one of my good friends over on that helps take care of this repeater. I won't mention any names, for $100. I knew it was worth a lot more than that, but he's a great guy, and I didn't have anything to use it for and don't regret it one bit. However, the kids have an R22 compressor yet on theirs down on their lake house, so I could have topped it off now and then for them, but I'm getting too old to mess with that stuff, Steve. I have a little bit of R-12 left. I mean, there might be a pound or two in one of the big cans. It's not 30 gallons, but it's the next size down.
That R-12, all the car restorers, that absolute restore one back to absolute factory, oh, they're just nuts over that R-12 stuff. And I'll tell you, some of them just, they'll pay ridiculous prices for, you know, just a few pounds, because that's what was original in the car.
I just need that, and I don't think anybody's going to check it. They could go to R146A, is that what it is? That's so common now. And when they first come out with that, they wouldn't allow us to put it in an R12 system. But later on, and I'm going by memory, Steve, so don't quote me on this, a lot of guys did anyways, and it worked just fine. The pressures are a little bit different. I have gauges for R12 and R22, and I have gauges for R146 or whatever that number is, and they are different. And but I know you could just change the seals in R12 system and just put in the newer gas.
Some of those garages out there back over in the day, and they were charging $500 and $600 to change out a compressor and change out half of the system in the car because, oh, it won't work. Got to do this, got to do that. I mean, they were just gouging the hound out of people.
Yes, sir. You're quite right. well, I don't know. I figure what goes around comes around. You cheat somebody, somebody else probably going to get you someday. Somebody upstairs keeps score on that, I think. I'd hope so anyway, Steve. But yeah, and the EPA was really nasty about it. The fines were like $10,000 if I did something wrong, and I just never did. And but a lot of them did. They didn't get caught, but yeah, I've seen them stand on the roof of that printing place and throw R-22 cans off the top of it, taking a chance of busting them open and everything else. But and venting it to the air, and that was after the laws passed. But you got to catch them. That's the thing.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I tell you what, Tom, I'm just about to detonate up here, and I'm going to go in and catch me a few Z's before I go back out and plant a bunch of tomatoes.
Steve, one thing it encouraged the people to fix their systems, like you mentioned at first, because I know the ones that I worked on roofs, and then a lot of times they'd leak, you just go up there and fill them back up. And believe it or not, there are ways of measuring that Dobson layer up there that blocks the ultraviolet and that, and it actually made a big difference when they stopped using the R-12 and the R-22. It was pretty bad, and it's part of what was causing the poles to melt so quickly. People don't want to believe that, and they won't believe it, so... But if you look in scientific magazines and read about it, you'll find that there were some precedents to what they'd done. It wasn't just, you know, oh, what was the name of that vice president? What was the name of him, Bernice? Oh, that vice president. Where's so-and-so when you need him? Al Gore. You remember that, Steve. Anyways, have fun with your tomatoes. We just got one in the ground. And I'll talk to you later. KN4VWA and 0TR.